Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Ready or not? if I'm not ready, wow, or not. Oh, welcome to the program. It's been wonderful knowing that you're listening and you're getting some of the wonderful scripture that's coming from this program and other things going on in the country. I'm so glad that I'm live every day, Monday through Thursday. I can tell you some of the things that are right up to date, which is wonderful. I love that idea. Whatever you do today, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And Hebrews 10, verse 36 says, "For you have need of endurance." Maybe that's why we're working. You have need of endurance. So when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Our lives are made up of hellos and goodbyes. And yesterday I found out from a cousin that our aunt Esther, who was 95. Yeah, all my aunts and uncles, wow, they lived into old age, a glorious age, golden age. She passed away. So my mom's youngest sibling. So we now have only one aunt who is alive, and she's 96. So it's a blessing to see that. And I'm glad Aunt Esther went to be with God. Years ago, she worked so hard. She was probably the least in height of any of the brothers or sisters, and yet she really worked hard. And she finally had 26 screws put into her back. She had just worn out her back, and God bless her. I'm so glad she's whole and she's good and she's perfect. So she was my earliest memory of Aunt Esther was when I was five or six, probably five. And she was my pianist during, we had in Brighton, Colorado, we had all city concerts, and then we had, special vocalists in the churches around the area. And so I was called to do a lot of that when I was very young. And she was my pianist. So that's my earliest recollection of Aunt Esther. And she was a firebrand. Very opinionated, yes. And I guess, like some of you say, of your brothers or sisters, wow, he got all the stubbornness of the family. Well, she got the stubbornness of that family. So I'm grateful. We're having a service for her tomorrow in Greeley. And so I will be going up there after the radio program. But I'm grateful. I am so grateful and thankful to God that he knows when to take us home. Yes, each of us has a date. We have an appointment with God, and it's wonderful. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being until he calls you home. Yes, or until Jesus comes back. That's what so many of us are waiting for. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our memory verse for this week is Acts 4, and it's especially 12. I love this verse, and that's why I kind of picked it up out of all the beautiful verses in Acts, and there are many of them. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And so I want to give that special scripture, and I'm going to read a little bit more from Acts 4, 9 through 12 in the Passion Translation. Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, answered, "Respected elders and leaders of the people," he's speaking to the Jewish people, "listen, are we being put on trial today for doing an act of kindness by healing a frail, crippled man?" And in Acts 3, you can read that beautiful story about this over 40-year-old man who had been crippled, and he was waiting at the gate beautiful for any alms or coins people would toss at him. And Peter goes on to say in verse 10, "Well then, you and everyone else in Israel should know that it is by the power of the name of Jesus that the crippled man stands here today completely healed. You crucified Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but God raised him from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that you, the builders, have rejected, and now he has become the chief cornerstone. There is no one else," this is verse 12 of Acts 4, "there is no one else who has the power to save us. For there is only one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation, the name of Jesus." And I pray every time that you say a prayer, or every time you lay hands on a friend and pray for them, end that prayer in the name of Jesus, because you don't want to have any credit. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today. You don't want to have any credit or glory due to yourself. You want it all to Jesus. Now, God's love is a different experience for each and every one of us on this earth. You may have raised and nurtured your children exactly the same, well, almost exactly the same, because as each one comes, there's going to be a little bit difference in the raising, and they turn out so differently. They really do. It's like my mom and Aunt Amy were the oldest in the family of eight children, and so they got a lot of the chores. I remember my mom saying that she had the responsibility, you know, all these siblings that were born after she was, of going behind the house with two big barrels of water and one of those old scrub, it's like some people play those scrub things, and she was cleaning the diapers. That was her chore, cleaning all the diapers for all the children. I just can't imagine it. We are so spoiled. We have so many conveniences today. They didn't back then. And, you know, you may have raised a family and you think we're going to raise them exactly the same. It's like when my daughters were small, I remember them asking, "Who's your favorite?" I said, "I don't have favorites. I love you equally." And, you know, you did the raising, but the influence that they had in school and in their lives has molded them and given each of them a different personality and different perspectives about life. You just can't plan out the future, so why even try? Let's use Jesus as our example of influence. When he walked this earth, most people couldn't handle him. They couldn't. Each person he met had such different reactions. You can even see it through the writings of the Gospels, written by four different men, and yet their perspective and memory of their relationships with Jesus was different, but very congruent and in agreement with each other. As you read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see how they come together in agreement. Oh, it's beautiful. But one thing was and is very clear: Jesus' love for each and every one of the disciples and his love for each and every one of us, including you listening, is perfect. Jesus' love toward you is perfect in every way. So why try to figure it out? Let's just relax and go with it. God knows your unsaved loved ones. Yes, he does. He knows them, and he's going to make sure that he has called them and wooed them enough for them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14, this is an idea of God. This is a wonderful description of your Heavenly Father. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us. He will not constantly accuse us or punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve, nor deal with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities." Oh, praise the Lord for his grace. Here it is, folks. Verse 11 of Psalm 103, "For his unfailing love toward those who honor and revere him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor and revere him. For he himself knows each and every one of us, and he knows exactly what it takes for him to draw us closer to him. I'm going to read verse 14 of Psalm 103 again. For he himself knows each and every one of us and all our shortcomings, and yet he loves us. Oh, what a deal. What a deal that is. We love and talk about our achievements and successes, and as believers, we can't talk about any of that without giving God all the credit. The Lord is looking for ordinary Christians through whom he can display his extraordinary nature. He wants to do mighty deeds that will give witness to the reality of who he is in us. You know Daniel 11:32. I hear it from so many people. But those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. How do you think they're going to do great exploits? Because God is in them. God is around them. God is surrounding them and going before them. And he is their rear guard. You can't do great exploits without giving God all the glory. David did, as he and Jonathan went to destroy this army. There were only two of them, and they came up above into a cliff area, and they killed 200 of the enemy. How can you do that? Only with God. Only with God. God is raising up a people who will know him intimately, who will be transformed to his image by beholding him, and who will demonstrate mighty acts to manifest his power for the glory of his name. Praise the Lord. As you listen to what I'm telling you, I want you to get hungry. Yeah, I want you to get hungry to know him more and see his mighty acts come forth through your life on a day-to-day basis. I know some of you, when you see commercials and you about food, or you think about, wow, I'd love to have, I remember the other night, I was thinking, wow, I'd love to have a bowl of cereal right now. I did. I got up. I had a bowl of cereal before I went to bed. We get this idea of food and we see it in our minds. Well, I want you to get so hungry about seeing Jesus, more of Jesus. Let the love of God flow out of you to others with no expectation from them. No expectation. You tell that loved one that is kind of coming against you in every way he or she can. No expectations. Just love them without any expectation of reward, you know, answers to your prayers. Don't go there. Just love them, or reprisal. Holy Spirit is living inside of you to rewrite your imagination. That's what he's doing in me, giving me new perspectives daily about things I've done for 70 years, telling me how to tweak little things I do around the house, giving me more time to be with him, and not being so consumed with every detail. I've got to do this there then, and I've got to do this. And no, it can wait till tomorrow. Yeah, it can. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind or the imagination of man what God has prepared for those who love him. He is there to help you write a new chapter in your life, and you recognize that there's a struggle going on in you between your mind and soul and your spirit. It's a tug of war between good and evil. God wants you to forget the old you and learn how to be comfortable in the new you. You may not know it all yet, but God is taking you on a journey into holiness. I'm getting a new computer soon, because the old computer can't take the new software that is needed, the new programs that are needed for more efficient work and research. I'm excited, but also a little bit apprehensive, because I've had this old computer for so long, it's a friend. And that's the way it is with becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everything seems to be strange at first, but the next step is vital for your growing in holiness. And Ephesians tells us so well, Ephesians 4. Well, first of all, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world's way of doing things any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 says, you have heard about Christ and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt from deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, how do you put off the old self? Paul tells us that we must remove the old programs from our minds which are like computers, and we upgrade them, installing new programs, new Word of God, according to the teaching and guidance of Holy Spirit. Some of us have been operating with old software, and we need new software for our new creation in Christ Jesus. And, you know, so I don't know why it has happened for you. Maybe you've taken a while and you've been maybe just a little lazy about renewing your mind. And some of you haven't made that switch yet, but you will. And that's why you're struggling. But Holy Spirit is assuring you right now as I'm speaking that you are loved and you will learn great and mighty things in His presence. We're serving Jesus because we love Him. We're giving up our own plans and ambitions to see the Father's will carried out in our lives. That's called taking up our cross, and we do it daily. And it's going to come to be a lovely consequence of God shedding His love and grace on us. You know, consequence can either be good or bad. And I want you to see, as you have been obeying God and serving God, you're going to have a lovely consequence. You're going to see a great reward. In a few minutes, I want you to listen to a resurrection song by Don Francisco as he sings about the events that led up to Mary discovering Jesus in the garden. In 1977, his Alive song won Song of the Year, and he was Composer of the Year. And Don begins by saying, and I want to talk a little bit about his life. Around the mid-70s, he says, I was doing my best to be a songwriter. I was working full-time at it, making myself sit down and write for hours on end. We literally were living on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know, he had a dry season in his life, and I'm sure that a lot of us have experienced that. It was a time of intense poverty, at least by first world standards. I was doing a few concerts in churches. Oh, he's a great guitarist. And had only one song to sing about the crucifixion. But I sat down with the intention of writing a song about the resurrection. I mean, who wants to end at the crucifixion? It's the resurrection why we're praising God and thanking God for Jesus Christ. And he said, Don Francisco says, at first I tried it from Thomas's point of view, but I just couldn't get it to work. And then I tried to write from Peter's perspective. I found I understood Peter. He denied Christ three times, and the last time Jesus had turned around and looked at him. That's right. When Jesus was going to be beaten and to be tortured, he looked down into the courtyard, and there was Peter, and their eyes locked. Oh, I can't imagine. So the weight of the guilt was on Peter, and it must have been crushing, I'm sure. Don goes on to say, I could identify with Peter because a couple of years before writing this song, I had been living a life of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I was full of guilt and fear of the consequences. Although I'd been raised in church, I had simply blown off any sort of relationship with God by the time I reached junior high. I was just in a desperate emotional search for some kind of love. And when I was 28 years old, 2 years before this song was written, I was still doing the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was in transcendental meditation and in a yoga position, a lotus position. I've never done it. I'm not interested. And here was this voice, almost audible. Don, this is Jesus. I love you. Why do you keep running from me? Along with those words came an experience I can only describe using the line from Paul in Galatians 1, verse 16. It pleased God to reveal His Son in me. And all of a sudden, it was pure revelation in my heart and my soul and my mind. He is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gate is open wide. And I want you to listen to these beautiful words by Don Francisco.
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary. So I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night. None of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away. Now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden. Then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
And amen. Oh, I wanted to do that song this week because resurrection is coming up. If you think that your loved one is beyond redemption, I mean, he's ornery. He's really ornery. He's mean. He's just committed a lot of crime. He's been in and out of jail. Don't believe that thought for one moment. Oh, and I'm grateful you're not the judge. You're not the judge, and you're not Holy Spirit, praise God, because once we have an experience like Don Francisco had, all of that anxiety, all of that guilt, all of that condemnation, as he says in his song, just melted into peace. Here's another quote from him. I suddenly knew God was not this angry, judgmental, legalistic monster that I was raised with, and that he was alive in me. Some of us were raised in a very legalistic church, and that is not our God. I remember, read Psalm 103. He's a God of loving kindness and compassion. And Don goes on to say, he was alive in me. He spoke those words to me, and I was a pretty bad dude, but he didn't mention any of it. He only said he loved me. Don said that after that moment of pure revelation, he was able to write with real gut-level excitement. You could hear it in the song. And conviction that he is alive and he's forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. And because of that revelation, I knew that I knew him, not because I'd read it in a book, not because someone had told me, but because the Lord himself had shown me in the deepest part of me who he really is. You're alive, sweet Jesus. And that's how God comes to your loved ones, whether they're ornery, whether they're stubborn, whether they've committed a lot of evil. God knows exactly how to get to them. Don't get stressed out. Don't become so over-concerned about them that's all you think about. And most of you think about the problem and the issue instead of the answer. Tell God that you are thankful and you praise him that he has delivered your loved one from that mindset that they have had all these years, and they are going to come into a revelation of having the mind of Christ. And just pray that spirit of salvation into their lives, and it will become true, friend. Your words are powerful. And as you pray the answer instead of the issue or the problem, God is going to go to work making sure that your loved one is born again before they die, before they go to heaven, just like my Aunt Esther. She was an obnoxious and opinionated lady, and I prayed for years, but God took her home because she was born again. The last time I talked with her and prayed with her, I knew that she was going to be with heaven in heaven with him. So remember that. Thank God for that wonderful relative, that wonderful friend, that loved one that God is going to redeem on your behalf. God bless you. Kimberly's going to be on the air tomorrow, the Lord willing, and we're going to celebrate the rest of this week of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.